All right, so I have the man, the myth, the legend, David Wygant on the line with me here. David, thank you very much for being here, brother.
Josh, always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure.
You don't have to lie. It's okay. I understand how you really feel.
No, I'd never lie, man. I would have you. Are you kidding me? I mean, we live so close to each other. I'm kind of disappointed that we're not doing this interview working out, talking, conversations like we always have, man. You should see everybody. Josh on my TRX. It is a sight to be seen, man, I gotta tell you.
I don't think anyone wants to hear those grunts, those man grunts, anyway, but...
Our man grunts are great. What are you talking about? I think every man should grunt, because here's the deal, and I tell guys this all the time. If you want her to moan and groan when you're eating her out, you better grunt a little bit when she's going down on you, man. If you like the drama return, you've got to give her a little bit of drama going back.
You know, I look at working out with you a lot like eating at a girl, so that's a perfect mesh for me. It's just, it works perfectly. So
I'm good at those analogies, aren't I? Man, my analogies are always definitely a little different.
Awesome. Well, we could talk about that all day, but I got you on specifically because I wanted to ask you a few questions, and I know that you have an amazing insight, and I know that you know, you're one of the most well-known and well-respected coaches in our industry, period. Definitely one of the most well-known coaches in the world. And, you know, it's just very, you have lots and lots of knowledge, you have tons of experience with this. You know, and I could ask you a million questions. I'm sure we're going to do several of these interviews because I don't think we're going to be able to get everything out in one interview here. But, you know, I never asked you a few questions. I never really asked you about how you got into this before, and this kind of, you know, never came up in conversation. I'm curious now, since I got you on the line, you know, you started doing this a while ago. You've been doing this for, how long have you been doing this now? It's been
like 14 years, 15 years. I mean, I lose track.
Yeah, 14 years or something. That's forever, man.
Yeah, I mean,
You know, what caused you to get into something like this? You know, 14 years ago, what caused you to get into studying this in the first place?
I've been studying it since I was a kid. I mean, I was raised by my mom, and my mom's friends were very cool. They would sit around. This is the 70s. They'd sit around and they'd smoke pot, and I'd come down from my teenage room. You know, with my teenage shirt, my teenage jeans on, and, you know, they would sit there and they tease me a little bit and say, if you were just a little bit older, I'd be your Mrs. Robinson. And I'd go, well, tell me what Mrs. Robinson would do to me, you know, and I would sit down and I would talk sex and relationships and what women were looking for with my mother's friends when I was 14, 15, 16, 17. So I had a fascination with this since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Not only for my own life, but I was always the go-to guy pretty much from high school on when people were having relationship issues, you know, when people were not working with their significant other anymore, and I was giving this great advice, and it just kind of morphed. I mean, you know, through my own work in my 20s, I remember being obsessed from like 23 to 25. Actually, 22 to 25, I was obsessed with meeting women. I remember I had a job out of college, and it was just an awful job. I mean, I hated it. But the benefit was I was working right next to Bloomingdale's, and Bloomingdale's had these hot makeup women. So I would basically go to Bloomingdale's every single day and figure out how to hit on these makeup women. I tried pickup lines. I tried a lot of different methods. But what I finally realized was that if I was just myself, funny, and if I walked over to them and go, how would you make me over? I got further basically using an observation based on what they were doing with other customers and putting myself out there in that way than anywhere else. And I kind of started like walking the streets at night, looking at people, trying to figure out how can I relate to people in every single situation. And because of all this work, I ended up, you know, bartending, owning a bar, and then 10 years later, I just looked at my life and I was doing these seminars on mindset, and somebody asked me what I'd like to do. And I said, I'd love to teach people how to meet the opposite sex. I'd love to teach men how to be fearless and women how to be fearless and how to get the person that they want instead of just settling for that same relationship over and over again. And that's how it kind of started. It morphed into this business by just my love of what this was all about.
You know, I'm kind of curious, since you had such an early start on all this, and, you know, you're kind of, it almost seems like it was a calling for you to do this, and it's been like this way your entire life, you know. Kind of, you know, as you've gone through this process and as you sort of realized the real truth about what actually makes women attracted, What do you think is like the big lie that every guy, you know, assumes, or that, you know, you even you assumed maybe whenever you were, you know, starting to learn how to actually approach and attract women? Almost, I mean, I know you pretty well, and I've seen you do this, and you know, attract women just instantly. I mean, you walk up and you say, it's not far fetched for a guy to think you have some magical line, because it seems like you just walk up with something pre-planned. But I know you, and I know you're not doing that, you know. So what is like the big lie that you know, if you could put this into every guy's mind and let him realize this was a lie, what is that lie that's holding everybody back?
The biggest lie that holds people back is that they think there's a magic pill, and they think there's a manual, and it's something that drives me crazy. I've been coaching guys for 15 years, and I am so sick of guys thinking that there's a routine that they can memorize and go and have a three-step conversation with a woman any place, anytime. The other lie is, just because you have the balls to walk over to her doesn't mean that she wants your balls, doesn't mean that she's attracted to you, and doesn't mean that there's going to be chemistry. And anybody that tells any guy that you can go and meet any woman, any place, any time, and they'll all fall for it is a bunch of crap, and I'm sick of it. Men, listen up. What I do is so simple. I want you to stop your brain. I want you to stop thinking this is a gas grill. I want you to stop thinking this is a BlackBerry you need to program. I want you to stop thinking this is a Mac. And I want you to get real, because little kids have it right, and you know this. And I'm going to share a story with you, Josh, that I think you'll really love. I was at a Dodger game. I was with what I call a mechanical PUA guy, very successful lawyer. Everything was mechanical from left to right with him. He just thought there had to be some type of routine to get women to talk to him.
Hey, David. Hey, David.
Hey, what happened to you?
I have no idea. I lost you right at. I'm going to plug in my internet here real quick. I know exactly where I lost you, so I'll just make a note there. And it started.
Good, because it's not a good story.
All right, 1 second. Let me make sure I'm not going to lose you again, because sometimes when I plug in, I lose internet connection. Looks pretty good for now. Yeah, so right, you were just about to tell me the story, and you said you were at a Dodger game. Maybe you could start from the top of the story.
Okay. So I was with this client. He was like a PUA guy. Mm-hmm. He always thought that there was some type of line he had to use everywhere. Yet, the guy was an incredible attorney. He was unreal. He worked the juries. He was charming. He was charismatic. He worked on emotions. He just couldn't figure out how to do that with women. He thought there had to be something entirely different. He thought he had to talk to women 100% different than he talked to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So we go to this Dodger game, and he was obsessed with Dodger dogs. And if any of you guys know what Dodger dogs are, they're like these 14-inch long dogs on like a 2-inch bun. I mean, literally. You'd think to yourself, they'd figure out to make a long bun so you wouldn't get the stuff that you put inside a Dodger dog all over your pants. So we're sitting there. He grabs two Dodger dogs, and of course I throw mine on the ground because there's no way I'm eating mystery meat. He takes one big bite, and the mustard just falls out of the little undersized bun. And this little kid sitting next to him goes, "Hey, mister, you're a slob. Didn't your mom teach you how to eat?" And he goes, "Oh, kid." He goes, "My mom, I guess I am a slob. My mom never taught me to eat. Did your mom teach you how to eat?" He goes, "Yes, she did." And they started bantering back and forth, being witty and having fun. 5 minutes later, he looks at me. He says, "Oh, my God." He goes, "I get it. You've been telling me for years, telling me, just be like a kid. React to what's going on in the moment. Be playful. Have fun. Tease. Say whatever you want." And I'm walking up to women all the time going, "Who cheats more, men or women?" "I finally get it." He goes, "I got to be playful." He goes, "Let's get out of this game right now." So we left the game. We went to Whole Foods, okay, which, you know, I've deemed whole pickup at this point. He sees a woman. Literally, she's at the bin. She's eating some of the stuff from the bins, you know, like yogurt balls or whatever. He walks up to her. He goes, "Excuse me, are you shoplifting right now?" He says, "I think you're shoplifting right now. You know, I might turn you into Whole Foods police." She turns around. He's got a big smile on his face, and they went out 2 nights later. And he finally understood life is about an observation. Comment about what's going on in the moment. Own your words. Be fearless. Mm-hmm. And you'll never have to search for lines again. And that's why it always feels like when I'm going up and talking to women, it's effortless, because all I'm doing is relating to what's going on in the moment, relating to her environment, creating this great little moment, commenting on what she's doing, making a comment, smiling, being confident. And I'm never thinking about what she's going to say next or what to say. I say what I want. I say what I feel. And that's what every guy needs to understand, because when you walk over with a pre-planned line, you look like a guy that's walking over the pre-planned line. Not only that, most women have seen the TV shows, have read the books, and they all know what's coming next if a guy uses a pre-planned line. So you got to stop doing that madness.
All right, so you're a brakeman, you got to break the pattern. It's funny that it actually became a pattern in the first place. For guys to do that, to walk over something pre-planned. Well, what do you think it actually is that stops guys from doing that? I mean, obviously fear, but, you know, what is it? What is it that stops guys from being in the moment to, you know, to see these things? Because I think that, you know, I'm not going to speak for me, because I know I've had, now I have the same situation, the same sort of observations that you have, which is probably one of the reasons why we get along. But, you know, when I was younger, I didn't have all these. I didn't have the ability to do that. It's like I couldn't see it, you know? Well, what do you think that is? What do you think that guys can't see these, you know, obvious, ways to open up women, to get them to talking, to, you know, to get them to say whatever and to flirt back and everything? How come you think we can't see that as men just in general?
Because I think they're thinking about things. I think they put so much pressure on themselves because they've heard that women want a guy to be funny. They heard they want a guy to be charismatic, to be confident, and they don't feel that way about themselves. They don't love themselves enough to accept who they are. They don't love themselves to realize that they already are powerful, that they already are strong, that they already are confident. And they're always searching. Guys are always searching for that perfect moment, that perfect thing to say. And there is no perfection. And I think I had that aha moment one time in my life. I mean, not one time. I've had it a lot of times. But I think my biggest aha moment, I was 25 years old. My girlfriend at the time was waiting for me in my house. It was my 25th birthday, and I was sick of this relationship. It was another relationship where the woman picked me. I was, you know, wasn't that attracted to her. She was pretty, but she wasn't exactly what I wanted. And I was so tired of, like, going with women that just picked me, because I just couldn't seem to approach the women that I wanted to approach. Mm-hmm. So being my 25th birthday, I said to myself, the first gorgeous woman that I see walking the streets of New York, I am basically going to make a comment about anything I can come up with, and I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to her. Whether my lip quivers, whether my face gets turns red, it doesn't make a difference. And of course, you know, we always have these moments as men that we're going to do this. I'm going to go out and talk to her on Friday night. I'm going to go talk to her Saturday night. But most guys don't do it because they're still searching for something so perfect. And my biggest aha moment was, it doesn't matter what you say. I saw a woman walking out of H&H Bagels on 80th and Broadway. She was walking directly towards me. She was absolutely a knockout, way too pretty for my first approach of the day. When I said I wanted to approach the first good-looking woman, I didn't want her to be like the first amazing, perfect-looking woman. I wanted somebody a little bit, you know, just a little less intimidating.
Uh-huh.
As she walked out of the bagel place, Josh, I looked at her, and I smiled because I forced that smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I look directly at her because I know eye contact is the key, because if you have good eye contact, you show that you're power. I looked at her. I said, so what kind of bagels did you get me? She came out of the bagel place.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at me. She goes, I got sesame and poppy. I said, I don't eat my bagels dry. You got cream cheese? She goes, yes, I do. She opened her bag. She took the cream cheese out. She took the bagel out. I looked at her. I go, no, you don't have to do that. I'm going to go in there and get one myself now. She goes, no. She goes, I want to. And she opened it, she started dipping the bagel into cream cheese. She literally fed me the bagel. We're talking. I got her phone number, went out with her 3 nights later. The bottom line is, I realized it doesn't matter what I say, it's how I say it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say anything, because I've been coaching women also for 15 years, and they're dying for men just to say anything to them, anything that's in the moment, anything playful, anything fun, anything real. And I've met women, I've met probably thousands and thousands of women just saying hello,
right,
just walking over and asking how they're doing, just making a comment about the car they're driving. And I think that is such a big moment. And I think most guys don't realize that, is that most guys think they have to come up with something so clever. But if you look at the way we converse with everybody, imagine going into your boss and walking up to him and, you know, thinking to yourself, I'm going to talk to my boss. I want to find out what's on the agenda today. But I'm just not going to say, hey, man, what's on the agenda today at work? I'm going to walk in there and go, hey, big boss, man, who cheats more at work, men or women? And what do you think the agenda is of them? No, we talk to people like human beings, and men, for some reason or another, stop talking to women like human beings and started treating them like aliens from another planet.
And you think that maybe, you know, why this started happening? Like, do you know why it started happening in the first place? I mean, I know that. I mean, it seems to me like, you know, maybe in the 30s and 40s, it was just a completely different idea of manhood. You know, just in general in the U.S. especially. That, you know, somewhere along the way, we just kind of lost our balls, you know, and they just kind of disappeared. And, you know, I mean, we look back on all those other times, it was like all these guys, all these men were real men, and the women were happy to be real women, you know, and happy to be more feminine and show that. And it seems like now there's a lot of confusion around gender roles, you know, who's supposed to do what, you know, what do you play? What do you do? Or, you know, are you going to step on her toes? Are you not going to step on her toes? You know, does she want you to be a dominant man? You don't want to be domineering. And, you know, how do you not be submissive? But how do you also, like, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, how do you be in control and lead? You know, when do you think this started happening? I mean, I know from the dawn of existence, it's been kind of happening, you know, but it seems like, I mean, have you seen this that recently, maybe with the internet or something, it seems like we all just become really passive.
I think over the last 10 years, I think we've become really passive. And a lot of women have complained to me over and over again that men are too passive. We become passive and lazy. We no longer, you know, when I was in my 20s, it was the 80s. You got a phone number, you called that woman up, and you had to speak to her on the phone. You had to leave a voicemail message. There was no caller IDs or anything. You had to intrigue her one more time. Nowadays, guys get phone numbers. They passively text, you know, 2 days later or a day later, and the woman doesn't get back to them, and it reconfirms the fact that, you know, she was a flake. But in reality, because you were so passive from the get-go, you were passive the way that you got the phone number, you were passive by texting and not calling her, and you had no plan when you called her, because the fact of the matter is that you have no backbone now. You've relied on Facebook and texting and the internet for your social life. Most of the time, you're spending your days emailing but not communicating and listening. And that, I think, is the biggest key, is that men nowadays don't understand the power of listening and how it's going to relate to meeting women. Because if you think about every relationship you've ever had, what do women tell you all the time? Hey, babe. You know, when are you going to go see your mother again? I've told you 4 times. You just don't listen to me. We don't listen as a species. So nowadays, with the internet, we don't have to listen even more because it's all typed in front of us. So we've become really lazy, really passive. But the problem here, Josh, and you know this, is that women are looking for that romantic comedy. They want a man to approach. They want a man to ask him out. They want a man to have a plan once they ask him out. They want a man to call her up. They want a guy to follow up after a date or ask her out that night, you know, of their first date for a second date. They want to be romance. The problem is women are leading nowadays, and that's the reason why men are not getting called back. And another thing I tell guys all the time is this. Look back in your dating life. Did you have to go down on a woman 5 or 6 times before she blew you? And if you did go down on her 5 or 6 times before she blew you, it's because she didn't look at you as a strong, powerful, confident man. Because a woman that thinks you're confident and strong wants to bring you to your knees, give you the best blowjob of your entire life, and leave her mark on you. And most men aren't getting that because most men are not delivering the goods. They're too lazy. Guys, you gotta wake up. You're not going to get the woman you want. You're only going to get the women you don't want. You've got to learn how to approach. You have to learn how to be fearless. And you've got to realize that this really is as simple as observing, making a comment on observation, listening, and segueing into a conversation based on what you hear. You never, I mean, think about this, Josh, right? When a man talks to his boss, he doesn't walk in there and go, hey, boss, man, what's going on today? And the boss says, oh, man, it's been a really rotten day. But the guy already has a pre-script in there. Man, I'm having a great day today. No, you're going to look at your boss and go, tell me, boss, man, why is it a rotten day? We have the art of conversation. We have these conversation skills. We just refuse to use them because we think, because of all the crap on the internet, that we need to talk to a woman and we need to escalate sexually. We need to use this and we need to do that and we need to turn her on this way. Guys, if you really want to turn on a woman, walk over there, make a comment about what she's doing, have great eye contact, listen to her, ask her out on a date, and do so as a man. If you listen to the tone of my voice right now, it's the tone of a man that's strong and has conviction. And that's how you have to be.
You know, I think that a lot of the reason why, you know, guys that, you know, guys on my list, guys that have been fans of mine, guys who have been fans of yours for a really long time, I think that what actually happens for most of what drives them to us in the first place is that they do have that fear, you know. And it sounds like you've got sort of a way to, you know, it's really, you can't break down fear and overcome it by breaking it down into a system. You can't do that. Because what happens is you start focusing on the system, which makes you afraid. That's kind of like a catch-22, you know? So it sounds like you've gotten sort of a way to approach it, though, so that guys get out of their heads and the fear doesn't grip them as much. And I know you, like I said, we spent a lot of time together, and I definitely know that you are fearless. Like, I've seen you, I mean, you never thought twice about talking to anybody. It's just kind of who you are, you know? And I, you know, I wasn't like that growing up, for sure. I was definitely shy and definitely scared. And what I found for me that sort of stepped me out of it, to be honest, the thing that made me sort of want to do this in the first place, is that I wasn't thinking about meeting women. I was thinking about being a man in my dad's eyes. I wanted my dad to think that I was a man. That's what I wanted, you know? And I started out doing construction and all sorts of stuff. And it came to the point where it was like, okay, well, women, I was just thinking about attracting women. So in a way that my dad would be proud of, really, you know? And I was like, that's all I was thinking about when I was younger. And so when I came at this, I came at it from a completely different place than a lot of guys did. I think it's one of the reasons why you and I came to a lot of the same conclusions, is because we weren't studying stuff like pickup guys, you know, whenever we were going through this, when we were trying to learn. And so instead it was kind of like this school of hard knocks for us. And, you know, you learn a lot from that. One thing that I learned is that you, no matter what you learn, no matter what you have studied, if you don't use it and it's not usable, then you will never get good, period. You'll just have a bunch of tools and you'll never know how to use any of them, you know? And I think that what you sort of offer, as a person, you know, as a coach, David, is you offer this sort of skill, not just tools, but a skill set that, you know, you can teach a man to fish, but, you know, or you can give a man a fish, but if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for life, like that kind of thing. You go through one of your programs, you learn some stuff. That's one of the reasons why the guys who come, you know, through your programs that I meet later on, you know, they're like, you know, they can recite everything you say word for word. They know everything that you say because it makes a huge impact on them, you know. And I know I spent, like I said, spent a lot of years knowing you, but recently spent a lot more time hanging out with you and because we live right next to each other now, which is awesome. And of course, you forced me to do TRX, which is okay with me. but, you know, I think that the sort of focus here, the thing that I think you're really hitting on, the sort of where the nail is and where a lot of guys are swinging and missing, is this sort of focus on being fearless. You know, there are rules. Wait, there are rules to live your life by, you know?
I want to add something to that. I think there's another thing that they're missing on Josh, and it's something that you and I both do. Mm-hmm. When I wake up in the morning and you wake up in the morning, the first thing that we do is look at ourselves and tell ourselves one thing inside, one thing that's really important. We love who we are, we respect who we are, and we honor who we are as men. We know that we have things to work on. We know that we have shortcomings. We know what our shortcomings are, and we work hard at overcoming those shortcomings. We accept who we are. We can't change our height. We can't change our weight. We can't change our hair. We can't change things about ourselves. But what we can do is change our mindset, and we know that. We both have the power to change our belief systems and our mindset. And there's something that, you know, when I put out the Fearless Code, I added an audio called Self-Love with it, because if you don't love yourself, then you're basically going to go and get a what I call a corrupted version of yourself. If you're neurotic and anxious and nervous, you're going to meet a woman who's neurotic and anxious and nervous, and you guys are going to drive each other crazy. Right. If you're needy and desperate, you're going to meet a woman who's needy and desperate. If you've got body images and you haven't accepted you know, the beauty of who you are as a man. You're going to get a woman who will basically never want to get naked, always wear a shirt around the house, and never ever show you her body, because she's going to give you the exact version of you, because life is a mirror. We meet people who are exactly like us in order to learn that lesson. And it's so important. And it's something that I think a lot of guys have failed upon, is that they have memorized and tried to learn pickup, but they haven't memorized and learned themselves. They haven't taken the time to respect themselves, honor themselves, and really know what they're all about. And it's something I told a client the other day. He's been having one bad relationship after another. And I looked at him and I said, your gut instinct, you don't trust. You never trust it. This is what I want you to do next. The second you start dating a woman, I want you to start writing down everything that you've, everything about her, the way you feel, some of the warning signs. And I want you to pay careful attention to the first 30 days, because I truly believe what she exposes to you in the first 30 days, even though you're full of oxytocin and you're, you know, feeling all that feeling of you think you're being in love and lust, right, she will expose the reasons why you break up 2, 3, 4 years later. You just choose to ignore it. So that's part of honoring yourself and having an abundant mindset and realizing that you have the power to meet women. And once you understand that power to meet women, and once you become fearless, you'll start honoring yourself more, and you'll stop being desperate and needy and chasing, and you'll start to get chased, and you'll start to create attraction everywhere you go.
David, I know you get a split, man. I'm so excited about this, the Fearless Code coming out. I can't wait to just dive into it myself. And if you could save a copy for me, that would be fantastic. I definitely want
to
check it out.
Absolutely. You know, I'll recite it to you as we're working out.
Oh, even another good reason to come work out with you then.
You know, I'm just dating you, man. You know, it's like, come on, we haven't worked out in like 2 weeks. It's probably my fault, your fault. You know, it's like, you know, we've been busy doing, you know, whatever we've been doing, working, saving the universe, you know, changing and helping one man at a time. And you know this, and it's something I'll tell all you guys this about, you know, about myself and Josh, is that we really care about every single person. I mean, there's not one thing, you know, and this is something, and there's not, you know, in our industry and a lot of self-help industries, a lot of the gurus are basically still learning the lessons, and that's the reason why they're gurus, you know. It's like they never learn the lessons out there. It's like when you see Josh and I at the farmer's market, and we're talking to, a couple old ladies and a couple old men and, you know, the pancake flipper, we really both really enjoy. When Josh or I say, how are you? We mean it. And it's something that's really important for guys to know, and that it's about being authentic and real. Because part of being fearless is being authentic and real, because if you're authentic and real, you're never going to wonder what someone said or how they felt about you. You're just going to know it, and you're not going to care, because you love who you are and you understand yourself.
Right. Yeah, man. It's right on, man. I can't add anything to that. That's perfect, David. You're right on about it. And like I said, I just am so excited that you came out with a specific set of rules, and that I'm going to be able to go through it with you and just kind of check that out. Cause I've been thinking about doing something like this for a long time, or just hoping someone would do it. And I'm so glad that someone who's credible, who knows what they're talking about, is going to be the one sort of leading the guys through this Fearless Code and through this process. So really excited about it, man. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, I can't wait for you either. And I really can't wait for the guys to really feel this. Right. I truly believe every guy has the power to meet great women. I truly believe every guy's an amazing conversationalist. And I've proven this. I've done seminars with 1,000 people in the room. And I looked at everybody in the room and I said to them, I said, if I sat down with each and every one of you at lunch, every single one of you, you and I would have a great conversation, because you don't have any fear of who I am as a person, and you all feel like you know me through products and seminars and everything else. Mm-hmm. But it should be like that all the time. You should be able to go and talk to that beautiful woman in the elevator. You should know what to say. You should know how to base an observation. And I take these guys through a step-by-step process on how to become fearless from A to Z, so they know how to approach without fear, so they understand body language, they understand what sexual escalation really is, but more importantly, they know what to say and they own their words, because they go through a series of exercises to get them there that I did for myself. I wasn't born this way. I wasn't crawling around in a diaper, crawling up to a hot little 6-month old and going, hey, I don't really speak English right now, but I know you understand what I'm saying. Don't you hate when your mom leaves your diaper full and, you know, it's like you got poo in there and it just sticks to you? I hate that feeling, don't you? Let's get out of here. Why don't we go take off our diapers? Why don't we go crawl in that little puddle and have a little bit of fun? Guys, I wasn't born an incredible communicator. I had to learn it. And that's the reason why I know all of you can become fearless and all of you can finally love who you are and respect yourself. And this is going to help you not only in dating, but it's going to help you in your business world too, man. It's going to help you get what you want out of life. And that's what it's about, because we don't know how long we live for.
Yeah, I know. That's scaring me too.
Oh, man, you're a young pup, man. You want to swap? I'll swap. Let me go inside your body, man. I'll swap with you for the next 10 years. You can have my body.
No, that's okay. I'm gonna try to hold back all the pains. But definitely, it's funny hanging out with you and Adam Gallaud a lot. It's like, man, I'm kind of getting like becoming aware that I'm getting older too. You know, I'm not sure if it's just hanging out with you guys and you guys are talking about it to me or something, or you maybe have more life lessons than I do, and I just feel like I'm super young. But you know, I don't know. I just makes me realize I need to appreciate this right now for sure. I definitely like it. So the answer to your question, no, I'm not switching with you.
You know, it's funny. You are the wisest man that you possibly can be at the age you're at right now. I am the wisest man that I can possibly be at the age I am right now. But if I talk to somebody 20 years older, I'd just be a boy to him and a kid. I'd be a wise kid and a wise boy. But that master guru would have that much more life experience and that much more knowledge to share with me. And I think that's probably the reason why you like hanging out with us old guys, because we share so much stuff with you. But I think it's also validation to you that you're really on the right track, that right, you really absolutely. Are. Yeah, that you really are as amazing as you think you are, you know, because otherwise you wouldn't attract such cool, fun, great people into your life. And that to me, I think, you know, I've never looked at age at all. I mean, I got friends that are your age. I got friends that are younger and stuff. And man, I admire and respect the path that everybody's on, and I would never hang out with somebody unless I really thought of them as an equal. And to tell you the truth, I believe we're all equals, man. I don't believe anybody's better than anybody, and I think everybody has something amazing to teach each other. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is listen and engage and talk. That little old lady walking down the street can teach you the art of attraction more than you ever know. The butcher at the supermarket that you never talked to, that you talk to one day, he'll be your best lead to meet gorgeous women at the market. You just don't know this because you refuse to learn. Most people are just stuck, and you and I are not stuck, and that's why you have such amazing people in your life.
Well, I can't wait for you to share this knowledge that you have with everyone who does jump on board for Fearless Code. I'm just pumped about it, man. You know, I know that I have overextended here. You're probably about 7 minutes late for another meeting here, but
all right. You and I can talk forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's do this again. Let's dive in a little deeper into a few more concepts. Then, until then, guys, just keep your eyes peeled for Fearless Code to come out. As soon as it comes out, I'm going to send an email out immediately to everyone who's interested in it. So if you are, just comment below. We're going to have a comments below this interview, and just let me know anything you think about what David says. And you know, let me know if you're interested and you're curious, because I'm really excited about this, and I can't wait for it to come out. It's going to be the product of the year. I mean, hands down. You know, I just can't wait for it. So.
Well, cool. Me either.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Bye.